Well, good morning, everyone. We're finishing up our series in Ephesians here, taking last part of chapter 6, which, as Kenny said, is a passage many of us are familiar with the whole armor of God. So this is a passage that's been very popular, if I think about it, and even like VBS and stuff quite often. It's a theme that's used with kids in terms of putting on the full armor of God. And it's kind of an interesting one, because what it really deals with is the question of how do we stand against the challenges that we face in the world? How do we stand against the difficulties that we face as Christians in the world? It begins with a very, very clear statement in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is a statement and a realization that whatever power we have is ultimately not because of ourselves. It is rather because of the work of the Lord of God in our lives. We can think about this the same thing as the psalmist says, and Martin Luther points out in his famous hymn, this is, Christ is our rock, he's our fortress. A similar idea that we are supported by the power of God in what we do. But it's interesting, in what way are we supported by the power of God? And this is really important in verse 12, because I've got to say, verse 12, I've always had trouble with verse 12. Mainly because I'm not a big kingdom theology person, okay? I'm really not in a lot to devils and evil spirits and all of that stuff, and this is one of the passages that people like to pull out when they're talking about devils and evil spirits. But in this passage, you must see it that way. There's no getting around it. Notice what it says in verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Now, this seems very contrary to us, because usually when we're having a conflict, it is with people. It is with people who are, in fact, flesh and blood. Okay? That's the reality of when we are in conflict. But what he's really saying here is that behind the flesh and the blood becomes the question of spiritual authority and spiritual control in terms of our lives. So he says the struggle might seem to be against flesh and blood, but it's really against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So ultimately, what he's really saying to us is, while we might experience this as a physical flesh and blood conflict with other people, the most significant part for us is the fact that there is a spiritual war taking place. And this spiritual war is our primary concern. So therefore, in verse 13, it begins with the idea, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand. So when the evil day comes, put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. What does it mean here? There's a couple things here I want to get at. One is, what does it mean to stand your ground? Okay. What does it mean to stand your ground? Of course, in a very physical sense, it says, like, I'm here, okay, and I'm going to stand and I'm going to stay here, okay? But again, that's ultimately a statement of a flesh and blood reality. It's a statement of a physical reality. It's not the statement of the spiritual reality of where I am. We can think of Martin Luther when he had his great crisis of faith. He said, you know, here I stand and I can do nothing else. And of course, he's not talking about a physical place, a physical location. He's talking about the spirit that he has been taught and that he preaches that must be taught, and there can be no other choice. So we're told to stand. But again, standing is primarily a spiritual task. And therefore, we are given spiritual gifts to perform a spiritual task. And we are encouraged to put on the full armor of God. And it's interesting, when you think of armor, what's the purpose of armor? Yeah, it's primarily defense. It's primarily protection. You wear armor so that the enemy can't hurt you. Okay? So what he's saying here is, put on the defenses that will protect you from spiritual damage, that will protect you from these false ideas and these false spiritual forces. So what is he doing here then in terms of that? What are these pieces we put on? Well, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Be honest. Be truthful. What's the temptation when we're facing people who are in opposition to us? How easy is it in that moment to want to fudge the truth, to make the facts fit what we want to believe, rather than being truthful about what's going on around us? How easy does it become to say, our opposition is telling lies, so therefore I can tell a lie? But that's that distinction. If we take on the methods of the enemy, of the spiritual enemy, then we are turning away from the God who has called us to his service, and we are turning towards these dark forces. So whatever comes in the world, we must always be truthful. That must be part of the rooting of who we are. Secondly, that verse continues with the breastplate of righteousness in our place. Righteousness in this sense really goes to the idea of right action, of doing the right thing, being oriented towards God and what God has called us to do in our lives. So we must be truthful and we must be focused on God. But as I said, how easy is it when we face challenges in this world, when we face opposition in this world, to want to assume the same strategy and tactics as our enemies. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Think of that, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In a sense, what he's kind of saying here metaphorically is, and you have feet that are ready to go to peace, that are ready to embrace peace. I think particularly in our world, in the old days, we used to have a thing called appeasement. And World War II kind of destroyed the concept of appeasement. It's the idea that we can't appease people to keep the peace. We must confront evil in the world. But Scripture, time and time again, talks about our God being a God that extols peace above war. And so it is important for us as Christians to recognize that peace is God's purpose in this world. And that if we may have to go to war, it certainly must be something that is thought of as a last resort rather than a first resort. It's interesting, as in the last few years, as I've got into teaching history more, I've kind of looked at all of the wars that were fought over religion And I can't find a good one. I can't find a good one where the church comes out at the end of the war better off than it was at the beginning of the war. Whether you look at the Crusades, or you look at the Wars of the Reformation, or you look at the 30 Years' War, or you look at Irish Catholics fighting Irish Protestants, Christianity never comes out better when it ties its banner to a war and goes forward with that. In addition to all this, verse 16, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now notice again, this is very much a defensive thing. This is the shield that gets rid of the evil arrows of the evil one. Okay? It again is an aspect of protection that allows you to stand where you are. And take the helmet of salvation. The knowledge that Christ has died for us, the knowledge that God loves for us, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword is the one thing in this story that could be viewed as being an offensive weapon, something we could attack with. We have a sword in our hand. Reality-wise, most swords are used to block blows more than they inflict blows. But also the reality is, what kind of sword are we given? A sword of words. A sword of ideas. A sword of the good news of Jesus Christ is given to us in the Word of God. So ultimately what we have is words to challenge the evil of this world with. And not our own words, but the Word of God. And lastly, not part of the armor, but important in all of this, is to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Prayer. Prayer is where we root ourselves, in that relationship with God, in that conversation with God in the midst of all of this. Ultimately, when you read Ephesians 6:10, and it tells you to stand, what is the promise being made to you? Is the promise you're going to win the argument on an earthly level? Is the promise you're going to live a good and long, happy life? No. The ultimate promise is that if you remain faithful to God, God will remain faithful to you. And not only are you allowed to called upon to remain faithful, but God will support you as you seek to remain faithful to Him. You do not battle alone against the forces of evil in this world. God battles with you on your behalf, so that you may win through in the end. But winning through in the end does not necessarily entail physical survival. The passage we read from Matthew today talks about this. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. But ultimately, we need to be concerned not about what happens to our flesh and our bones. What we need to worry about is what happens to our spirit. And the great temptation that is always going to happen when we confront evil in the world is to embrace the philosophy of evil to preserve our physical being, to sacrifice our spiritual beliefs for our physical safety, to turn from what God has called us to do and be and become something else so that we might survive. Often rationalize with the idea, well, if I'm dead, I can't do anything for God. So therefore, the most important thing is for me to stay alive. And whatever I have to do to stay alive, I will do. I hate to say this, though, but Scripture does not count life as the highest value. Physical life is not the end-all and be-all of who we are. It is our spiritual life and our relationship with God that is at the forefront of everything we are and everything we should be. So therefore, it is important that we do not sacrifice our relationship with God to preserve our physical being, but rather that we should seek to be God's people in all places, in all times, regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves. You see this a little bit, particularly at the end of Ephesians here. I mean, I think one of the hard things for us to read Ephesians is to think about it in the context in which it was originally written. We come out of 1,500 years of what we like to call Christendom. Christians being in charge, controlling government, controlling police forces, controlling armies. And in those circumstances, it becomes really easy, and I've heard people say, well, we need to send our army to protect those Christians somewhere in the world. That's a response of power. And there may be times when that's the right thing to do, but as I said, always with great hesitation, for it takes us off the path of peace that God's laid out before us. But think of Paul's time. Paul's arrested on a fair amount of occasions. He's thrown in jail on a fair amount of occasions. Why isn't Paul ever saying, well, I'm in jail, I want you to all get your sticks and clubs and come break me out? Well, there seems to be two things at work. One is I don't think that's what Paul believes is spiritually correct to do. Notice how often Paul talks about submitting to authority, and he's talking about authorities that are not Christian. He says Christians need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem in any society in which they belong. So he does not encourage his followers to take up an aggressive attitude. But rather, he tells them that God will bless them inasmuch as they seek to survive. And notice what he says. He says, pray for me, for I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it being the gospel, fearlessly. Paul isn't saying, pray that I get out of jail, pray that my enemies get destroyed. He's saying, pray that I can be faithful. And that's what each of us needs to pray. In whatever time we live in. As Sam was saying in VBS this week, we were talking about how wicked the world was when Noah was alive. And then talk about, well, maybe the world's just as wicked today. And I have a hard time finding any point in human history where we probably weren't just about as wicked. We live in a broken and a fallen world in the midst of broken and fallen people. And the call to us in all of these situations is the same one, whether we find ourselves in freedom, in power, in weakness, in strength, whatever situation we find ourselves in, can we be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Even if that means in the eyes of the world we appear to lose, even unto perhaps losing our life, can we remain faithful? I believe we can, not because we rely upon our own strength, but because we put our faith in God and in His strength to preserve us in the midst of difficulty, in His armor, which will make it so that we can stand, and in the end, the promise that whatever happens to our body, our soul is safely His, and we will return to Him and His power and His glory forever and ever. Amen.